Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. Welcome to the show. I'm very excited to introduce my guest, Honey, today. She's from Urban Homestead Honey and has an amazing website full of information about homesteading and gardening and living a sustainable life. So welcome to the show, Honey.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I've had a passion for urban homesteading for over 10 years. And I moved to the house where I'm living at now. And the side yard, it's like a double plot. I don't know exactly how you say that. The yard is as big as the house because it was initially meant to be sold as a separate house property.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But the person who sold it decided to keep it as a vacant lot, as it were. And when I moved into it, the side yard was just filled with old mattresses, old carpet, every sort of junk you can imagine. Ooh. But I know, but I so saw the potential of what that land could be. And so I started researching on the net of all the different things you can grow and homesteading and the critters and all the different aspects of this type of lifestyle. And after many, many years of doing my own research, I was like, oh, I should probably put together a website where I'm able to amass all this information for other people. And that's how urbanhomesteadhoney.com was created. And to date, I have like over 2,000 videos and 2,000 articles on this lifestyle and natural living and natural medicine. And so I made it happen. And in the process of making it happen, my health seriously, seriously went downhill. To the point where like 4 years ago, I, very, very, very poor health, lost vision in one eye in the matter of 4 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, it's been restored, through homeopathy, but, it was at that point that I said, you know, I really want to do this homesteading lifestyle, but I have to be so careful as to how I exert my energy. I just figured out a way that I could do it and make it as easy and simple as possible. And so that's what I've done.
Okay. Well, we're excited to hear some of those tips today because easy and, you know, convenient is usually best for lots of people. So I think in this busy lifestyle, so I think this is going to be a great, and your website is so informative and just full of great nuggets. You've really done a nice job of vetting different pieces of information there and finding some great, you know, videos and blog posts. And just, it was hard not to just get lost there for hours yesterday.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, go ahead and tell us about your very first gardening experience. Like, I always like to start out the show by just, you know, introducing, like, how old were you? Were you a kid, an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow? How big was it? You know, just a little bit about the very first time you gardened.
Sure, sure. Actually, I'm going to tell the story about my grandfather.
Cool.
Yeah, I grew up in Miami, and he had his patch of tomatoes. And he loved his tomatoes every single year. He was with the tomatoes. We asked, where's grandpa? He's out talking to the tomatoes. And I was also fortunate growing up in Miami. We had a mango tree. We had orange trees and grapefruit trees. So thinking about it, that was really my first introduction of trying to just have a little mini backyard orchard. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. So then, and now you were saying you're in the Southwest. So is that like kind of a different climate to get used to, or is it kind of similar?
Oh, no. Miami to Southwest, you couldn't be more opposite. Miami had rain constantly. It was very humid. Here in the Southwest, we get very, very, very little rain, very dry.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just figuring out how to make it work.
Okay, so then go ahead and tell us a little bit about what does organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening mean to you?
Well, basically, it just means not poisoning the stuff that you're trying to grow to eat, for me. I mean, I don't know the exact dates, but before the big chemicals came in, All food was organic. It was, no one thought it wouldn't be organic because it was all natural and healthy, and it was grown to be as nutritious as possible. But yeah, so when it came time for me to do my own garden, I didn't even think about wanting to use anything that was not organic. It just seemed counterproductive to what I was actually trying to create.
I'm always amazed. Like I've asked some people if they would be on the show, and they're like, "Well, I can't be on the show. I'm not organic." And I just kind of look at them, and it still just takes me by shock that anybody wouldn't be. But I mean, I guess there's aisles of, chemicals and pesticides you can use. So I don't know why I'm always shocked. I don't go down that aisle, so I don't know. But
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't go down that
So then, who or what inspired you to start using organic techniques? Was it your grandfather, or did you learn somewhere else, or what inspired you?
It was just sort of necessity. It was like, well, I don't want to put poison on my food, so I'm just going to go ahead and plant, and I'll just figure it out as I go.
And so then that's how you learned, just by figuring it out as you went, or
Yeah,
did.
I really don't do anything that spectacular. The bugs that want like to squash bugs. I've gotten to the point where I just don't plant squash. If the squash bugs are going to come take it over, and I'm not going to try and add poison to try and keep them from doing it. It was like, well, there's enough other things to grow. Let me see what those things are.
All right, and then I'm gonna recommend to you check out Peter Jordan was a guest on my show. I think he's number 29, and he has a business called Seed Haven up in Canada,
Okay.
and they're not available in the United States yet, but they're gonna be soon. And they're these like plastic trays that you put in the dirt, and they keep the bugs from getting into your plants somehow. Because
Okay.
he had the same problem with squash. Because I remember being like, squash? You're having, I never heard anybody had a hard time growing squash, but he said, yeah, the bugs just get into it. And so him and his neighbor created this product that he calls Seed Haven. And they're like these little plastic tray type of things that go around your plants and just somehow keeps the bugs out.
Okay.
So, I think I'm pretty sure it's episode 29,
Okay,
Peter
cool.
Jordan. Okay, so tell us about something that grew well this year.
Well, my whole emphasis, because of my health, is to make it as easy as possible. I absolutely adore anything that volunteers. So for me,
Nice.
my crops are sunflowers. I'm also a beekeeper, and so the sunflowers, while I don't technically eat the seeds, they're excellent food for the bees, which are my allies in making this happen. And so the sunflowers constantly reseeding. I have kale and Swiss chard. In my opinion, once you have those, you will forever have those because they just reseed so voraciously. And I was very blessed that here in this neighborhood, apparently, I have lamb's quarter that just recedes like crazy. So these are the things that just volunteer to come, and I welcome them, and I just make space for them, and there's my garden.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to share with listeners what lamb's quarter is? Because some of them might not be familiar with that. I love it, and we have it around here, but.
It's like a very, very nutritious weed. It's supposed to be one of the most nutritious weeds that there is. And it's supposed to be like an alternative for spinach. It has a rather strong taste if you're not used to it. But because I do also have the chickens and the ducks, I'm planting not just for me, but for my whole crew. And they love it. They go to town on all of the leafy greens that I grow.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about them. So, how many chickens and ducks do you have? And are there any other animals? Or tell us a little bit about your place.
Okay, alrighty. I have like 10 chickens and 5 ducks, and that's the city limits. You're allowed to have 15. And I used to have a rooster even, and I love the sound of roosters. I'd really kind of like to have a rooster back, but it was the rooster can be really hard on the hens. So I figured that I would take a little break from that for a little while. So I have all of the eggs, chicken and duck eggs I would possibly ever want. And I've done other things. I've tried raising the rabbits and the quail. And they were good for while I had them, but it was just time to, again, just get really focused and keep it really simple. So I'm down to those animals, and yeah, we're all having fun.
Okay, I'd be remiss as a podcaster if I didn't tell everybody John Lee Dumas's acronym for focus, which is follow one course until successful. And he's the one that got me into podcasting, and so I just had to share that little tidbit with him since you said you wanted to focus, because I think that's really important. Especially as new gardeners start to grow things, like Mike and I are thinking about creating a challenge this year, because one of our goals of the podcast is to encourage people to grow enough food in their garden for 1 year to feed their family for 1 year. And so we were thinking of making a challenge where people would pick just one vegetable. Like last year, Mike picked potatoes and he got really close. He wanted to grow 100 pounds of potatoes and he grew well over 100 pounds. But we eat a lot of potatoes, so they ran out about January or so. So he's got about half our year. And he already grows enough carrots and green beans and beets, and he comes pretty close with cucumbers. He pickles a lot of cucumbers and beets to get us through. So
Smart.
we're just always expanding. So that's our so I was thinking of doing something like that, but I think that it's important to start with, just one vegetable, instead of people saying, I'm gonna grow all the food for my whole family for a whole year just right off the bat. That would be just overwhelming. Or if
Totally.
you've never had a garden before, you might want to start with just like a couple of plants in a container, not even start with a big bed. And one of these days I'm gonna post the pictures, because I've been going through our mass amounts of pictures trying to get our website, up to date. And
Right.
like when I look, and we just started with these two itty bitty, 3 by 10 foot beds with just a wire, like triangular wire thing over them, because deer is a huge problem. Like now we have a giant deer fence, but when we just started out, there were just two little beds. And I hadn't looked at those pictures because they're like 15 years old almost, and
Right.
in a long time. So, long story short, but I love lamb's quarter. I guess it is kind of a little spicier, but I think it makes a nice mix and something a little bit different. And it does, definitely grow, very easily and comes back. So I like that part.
Well,
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, this
So, how about Oh, I know what I was gonna ask you. So what's that? So you're doing urban gardening, which I really like. So that reaches out to some listeners who are in a different area. So can I just ask, like, what's the population about where you are in your town? Because you were talking about there are rules about chickens and ducks in the city limits. Like, is it, like 10,000 or 50,000 or?
Oh man, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
We're in
Just
a
interested.
larger city in New Mexico.
Okay.
So we do have a population. I mean, we are a full-fledged city. Yeah, so
Okay.
I yeah.
So, is there something you're excited to try new this year coming up, or something you're going to do different, or something you want to try new?
Let me think about that. Actually, one thing I would be interested in is starting like a CSA.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, but what I'm really trying to do is find people that will partner with me. Because just for myself as a single woman, having the orchard, which I have like 12 different fruit trees, so the harvesting of all that and just all the planting and all the watering and everything, it's a lot. So I'm looking to have other people be as excited about it as I am and really make it into yeah, like a CSA where I can like reach out to more people.
So that's interesting. You're the third person I've talked to, like just this week, that's talking about doing that. Like, well, Robin, I guess I was my guest. I think it was last Thursday's episode. Just recently, this woman down in Whitefish here, where we live in Montana, and she's working on creating a kind of, she calls it a food hub, I think, network, where it would kind of be like that, where people would who have extra produce could sell it together, and then people who want to buy locally produced, organic produce would have an access to buy it. And there would be like, one, I think she, like it was on Friday afternoons, or there would be like, one consistent day where there would be the drop off and the pickup. And people could like order things. I can't remember if it was they were going to order. I can't remember all the specifics. I think they're just working on it. But I think that's just a great idea to have these, you know, CSA hubs where people are working together. Because when you're starting out, you're not necessarily ready to, you know, have huge amounts of produce. And it is a big production to get into and a big, you know, commitment. And so if you're working with other people, I think that's just a great idea for people to look at. It's going to just increase the benefits of to everybody, to both the producers and also to the people who want to purchase. It's going to, you know, open up different you know, options for them. So I think that's a great idea, and I bet you'll get a good response to that.
Thank you.
So I'm curious to know how that works out in the M.
I'll let you know.
Okay. So tell us about something that didn't work so well last season.
Squash. I mean, I didn't try it last season because I sort of gave it up after. The first year was really great because they say that until the bugs find you, you do great. And that first year, it was stunning. I had squash everywhere. But then once the second year, it just didn't happen. And then I decided I just really wanted to put my energies into something that I would be more productive. But because most of my garden is, you know, I have the orchard, which is self-sustaining, and I, you know, grow a lot of the volunteers. You know, maybe I have a more limited selection than most people, but I just, again, try and keep things as easy and simple as I possibly can.
I think that's
Thank you.
important. So what kind of trees did you say were in your orchard?
Oh, I have a I have many different apple trees, pear trees, Asian pear trees, cherry trees, grapevines, blackberries, everything I could get my hands on.
Nice. And you know, fruit's so essential. So and I don't think people realize the pesticides that go into fruit. Like they talk about you know, I think is it grapes and strawberries have some of the most toxic chemical pesticides on them. And you know, it's so like I always think, why don't grocery stores have sinks by the produce? Because so many times I go to the store and want to buy it right then and there. You know, it's easier. We're out a lot in Montana. You know, a lot of times I leave my house in the morning. I don't get home till late at night. And I think that's true anywhere. And you want to just pick up a fresh piece of fruit. If you take it with you, a lot of times it gets banged around and beat up for me anyway. And it's easier to just buy a piece of fruit when I'm at the store, but then I really want to wash it. So
Right,
I always
right.
think, why don't they just have a little sink right there I can wash? And people who are buying grapes for their kids, you know, how many people can make it home from the grocery store without the kids getting into the grapes? But
Exactly.
they're covered. Okay,
Yeah.
how about something you find that is easy to grow and is generally successful every time?
Again, the sunflowers, the kale, the Swiss chard. I just love those volunteers. What can I say? I'm totally addicted to the ease and the convenience of just having nature provide for me that way.
Do you want to explain to listeners maybe a little bit about exactly what do you mean by a volunteer? I guess I would know, but maybe some people might be like, what's she talking about?
Sure. When you plant the kale or the Swiss chard or even onions and garlic, they'll go ahead and they'll put out a seed pod when it's time for them to do that. And then the seeds, through the help of the birds or the wind, will just automatically disperse themselves through your land. And then the following year, you'll just find that you'll have little baby plants of whatever you had planted previously growing up all on their own. And so they're called volunteers because you didn't technically buy the seed and you didn't technically plant it per se, but there it is. It's back for you again another year.
And you know where a lot of people talk about volunteers coming up is out of their compost piles.
Oh.
And I know, you know, we've always had tomatoes or sunflowers and things come up in our compost pile too.
Right,
So,
right.
yeah. How about something you'd steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in your climate? Would that be the squash or is there anything else?
Squash. Notoriously, squash bugs are notorious all throughout. Any gardener here will tell you, oh, the squash bugs. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
How about what activity is your least favorite activity to do in the garden?
Well, you know what? That's funny. M both my favorite and also my least favorite are the same things, the
Okay.
watering.
Watering?
Watering, like in the spring when you're watering, like, oh, everything is so beautiful, everything is so nice. And then 2 months later, it's like, oh, I've got to go water.
Oh, I love your honesty and just your sense of humor. And that's so true, right? I think it's that way with weeding too. And like I was just out there weeding the other day, my peace sign and getting the garden ready, and it was so nice to sit there and I thought, yeah, but how long is this gonna
Right.
last?
Now,
So
myself for weeding, what I decided to do, again, to make it as easy as possible, I was totally inspired by the Back to Eden gardening with the wood chips. And so I have wood chips throughout the whole yard. Actually, when I first moved here, obviously there were the mattresses and the carpet, the old junk that people had used the side lot as basically a dumping ground. What did grow were these orange flowers. They're really beautiful and the bees like them, so I keep a little bit of them. But we would literally pay people like $100 every year just to weed whack them. And
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, that doesn't make any sense at all, because you're just weed whacking. They're going to be back the following year. And so when I saw the Back to Eden, I'm like, I've got to get my hands on these wood chips. And so there's a local tree service that you can call up, and they'll just for free, they'll put you on the list. And if they happen to be in your neighborhood after they've pruned the trees or whatnot, they'll go ahead, they'll shred them, and they'll dump them in your yard. And so I just had the wood chips on the walking path, so I wouldn't have to deal with those weeds and pay money to have them being taken care of. And that was great. And then as I knew more about the wood chip gardening, I started to put the wood chips in the actual beds. And I've not really had any weeding, knock on wood, at all that I can speak of.
Nice. Tell us a little more about the Back to Eden gardening. I guess I haven't heard of that.
Oh my goodness. My greatest resource is actually the internet. And I've learned just about everything that I know from Google searches and from YouTube. And if you go online and you look for Back to Eden Gardening, the movie, you have to be careful because you may pull up other stuff that's not as relevant. But it's actually a form of gardening where this the gentleman is out on the west side. I don't remember exactly where he is, and he was just having one of those moments of like, oh my goodness, this is so hard. And I'm looking over at this forested area and everything is growing so well. What's happening? Why isn't this happening for me? And he's very Christian in his orientation, and he thought of different Bible verses and whatnot. And he connected to the fact that nature sort of has its own system in place, and humans come in and think, well, we know better, we're going to do it this way. When actually the system that nature has, works really well. And what he noticed is that in the forest, the trees would drop their leaves, and the ground was always covered. We try and garden in like bare soils, bare land, and then of course everything dries out, and then you can have the other stuff, the weeds and whatnot, move in. And so he just had an aha moment about the value of the wood chips. And so he just started to literally pile on. I mean, we're talking like a foot or more. I personally don't have access to that many wood chips. I probably have like anywhere between 6 inches to 2 inches of a covering of wood chips, but it helps maintain the moisture in the soil. So what little rain we do have will go into the wood chips. It'll go into the soil. The wood chips will actually they act like a sponge. So if you need more water, they'll go ahead and they'll release it. But then we do have monsoons. So if we have too much water, they actually soak it up. So they just act as a natural way to regulate that the water. And that's not to say that you don't have to water the wood chips here where I am. It's the desert, everything is going to benefit from water, but they just act as that buffer. So it's you just, what is that called? You just have more insulation. You just have more leeway because you have something else looking out for you, and it's not like bare earth that is just going to dry up and blow away. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense, and I think you put it very eloquently and explained just thoroughly The benefits of using wood chips or some kind of mulch to help your garden grow in a much more environmentally conscious way. I really like everything that you said there, and I think there's lots of golden nuggets for listeners to take away from that. How about tell us about the best crop you ever grew, like your something that was just phenomenal one year.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, last year, my one peach tree had so many peaches. I was literally dehydrating 80 peaches a day in the oven. And
I
I did
remember
that.
reading about this in your blog. This was a great blog post. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. So literally, I mean, I was just sort of like, what am I going to do with all these peaches? And I had already canned all the jams and everything that I could think of. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try this dehydrating. And I didn't have the money for the fancy schmancy dehydrators. Plus, to me, they're so small that they would just not be adequate at all. So I read online about how to turn your oven into a dehydrator, which is very simple. You just keep it on a very low heat and you prop the door open. I just used a paper towel, the tube and the paper towel holder, and that's what kept the door open. And it would take about a day. And I put 80 peaches in at a time. And then by the time I was going to go to bed, they were all dehydrated. It was really cool. And I still have like tons of peaches left over.
Yum. Now, do you put anything on the peaches or you just dry them just natural?
Just
Just
natural.
lay them out and that works. Okay, cool. Okay, how about what is the best gardening advice you have ever received?
Just try it.
Okay, cool. How about have you ever entered a fair? This is a brand new question I've never asked anybody.
Yeah, no, actually, I have friends that have been like judges at fairs, and that's totally cool if that's what they want to do. And I've watched episodes like you can see like British gardening shows, and they're like talking about how things are being judged. Is it this long and is it this color? And to me, my idea was just to get food that I could eat, and I wasn't going to be so persnickety as, oh, it's too much this or too much that. Did it taste good? Yes, okay, it's a win. You know, that's
Nice.
what I go by.
How about a favorite tool that you like to use? Like if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what would it be?
Internet.
That's a great one.
I mean, I am constantly on it, you know, hence the birth of urbanhomesteadhoney.com. And I mean, I look up when it is to plant, I look up the different varieties, I look up companion planting, I look up permaculture. I think it's one of the most amazing things that we have in our day and age.
Do you want to say anything about companion planting? Because nobody, some people have said a little bit about it on my show, but not, they haven't really talked about it. Like, do you have anything special to say about that at all?
Okay, well, I don't know if this is tech. I mean, I do believe in companion planting. I mean, this makes strawberries are supposed to go with tomatoes, and I understand those principles. But what I'm so enamored with is like a permaculture technique, which I would classify as companion planting, that I plant my peas under my grapevines. And so as the peas are growing up, the grape leaves are growing out. And so they will automatically shade the peas. So I'm able to harvest peas months later than anyone else because everyone else, it's too hot, it's too dry. They just don't produce. They just eventually will die out. Whereas under the grapevines, under that shelter, they just do so much better.
Perfect. That's wonderful. We might have to try that. Mike was just found the pea packets yesterday.
Cool.
How about tips for eating or harvesting vegetables or fruit on time? Because that's something I really struggle with is finding time to get down there after everything's grown. It just seems like I get totally overwhelmed and go down and pick these huge baskets of lettuce and then I'm out of time. I'll maybe wash them the next day even, or if I do wash it, then it goes bad before I can eat it. So any tips for that?
Actually, I experienced that with the cherry trees. This one tree, it took me literally 5 hours nonstop to pick all the cherries off the tree.
My goodness.
Yeah. And
That
so
must have been a lot of cherries.
it was a lot of cherries. And then, of course, my health, I'm like, okay, I've just put 5 hours into this. Now, what am I going to do with all the cherries? And so what I came up with is I am a huge, huge proponent of lacto fermentation. And for my own health, I just like to have that probiotics go into my system. And it's also a form of preservation. So I took all the cherries and I put them into the it's called a ginger bug. And you basically take ginger root and you chop it up and you add it to water and you add like equal amounts of sugar. And you do that for 3 days, like a tablespoon of ginger root, tablespoon of sugar, tablespoon of ginger root, tablespoon of sugar. And then after about 3 days, it should start bubbling. And then that's what's called a ginger bug. And from that, you can make my absolute favorite thing, which is fermented soda, or you turn fruit juice into soda. It's actually carbonated. And if you're not careful, it'll actually overflow just like champagne. Yeah. And
Is that how
so
they make like ginger ale?
I don't know if I personally doubt that that's how they make ginger ale now, but back then when sodas were considered tonics, totally, I would totally believe that that's how they made them.
I'm gonna have to talk to my neighbor because they opened this ale house a few years ago, and since I'm not a beer drinker, but it's like the social hub in our community these days. When I go, I drink their ginger. I think that I want to say they call it ginger beer, but it's ginger ale. I mean, I'm sure. I don't know, but I wonder if that's how they make it. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, let me know. Let me
Okay,
know.
yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
So, oh, but that's interesting. Okay, do you want to explain what a probiotic is at all? I know Patty Ann Bennett, who was one of my guests back. I think she's like episode 7 or 8. Gave me sauerkraut to use as a probiotic.
Right, exactly.
Do you want to explain what that is, maybe at all?
Sure. If you think about yogurt or kefir, the reason that those are attracted, that's attractive to people that are interested in the health benefits is because it creates the little flora, the little bacterias that go, that I, now I'm messing it up. Okay. So the little bacterias that you are actually used to make the yogurt and the kefir. I mean, that's what yogurt and kefir is those colonies of bacteria. And so those go into the system, your digestive system, and they just help repopulate it, and they just help keep the they do like the house cleaning. The little good bacterias go in there, they clean up the debris, they clean up the bad stuff that's in there, and they just make a thriving colony. So your digestion improves, which I noticed right away from eating probiotics. I could tell in my daily bodily functions, you could tell that it was way better than what it was before. And it's just a very healthy, easy way and inexpensive. I'm all about cheap as well. So it's a very healthy, natural way to try and have like a probiotic supplement.
You know who else I just heard was, I don't know if you ever listened to the Model Health Show, was Shawn Stevenson, and he's like this big fitness and nutrition guy, and he was talking about he eats a tablespoon of a probiotic, and I think he was even saying he eats that the sauerkraut like once a morning or something also too. Okay, how about will you share with us the peaches secret for preserving food? Do you have any others, or and then the lactoformation. So I guess should we just call that good, or do you have any more for preserving food? Okay.
Well, actually, if you're talking about lacto fermentation, kimchi, I don't know if it's technically a lacto fermentation, but it is a fermentation and it's a form of preservation. So there's all sorts of things that you can do like that. The sauerkrauts, the kimchi, the kefir, lots of stuff out there. Just again, go on the internet, type it in, you'll find it.
Who else was talking about making a good kimchi? Was it, I think I had a guest, Alethea Vasilis was talking about her husband and her making a really good kimchi with doing that same lacto fermentation process. A special technique for cooking weird or unusual foods.
Well, m most of my family would think what I cook is weird. I mean, okay, so I can't grow squash myself, but that doesn't mean I don't buy it at the store. And so I'm the one that will throw the squash in with the, fried onions for the morning, Saturday morning breakfast with eggs and toast. Just trying to throw vegetables in wherever you can. Now that I have mint, I love putting mint and lemonade. I try and stick mint just about everywhere that I can. You can use like rosemary in the place of basil for pesto. Though I grow both the basil and the rosemary. Basically, I'm not daunted by unusual combinations. I just find that fun and creative.
I like that. Are you going to come out with a cookbook for us?
Oh, hey,
Yeah.
that's an idea. Okay.
You're the third person that's mentioned pesto out of something besides basil on my show, and I am just dying to try some different pestos this summer. So I've never heard of pesto with anything but basil. So I think that's going to be just so exciting. So I would love to see your recipe for rosemary pesto.
Oh, awesome.
That
Yeah,
sounds
just go
good.
to urbanhomesteadhoney.com. I have the recipe up there.
Oh, all right. It's already there. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden? I mean, I guess that's kind of under the same.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to answer that because, I mean,
Okay.
yeah.
So we said a favorite internet resource. Are you just going to go with Google searches and YouTube, or is there like a particular website you go to repeatedly besides the Urban Homestead Honey, which we will definitely put the links to in the show notes? I know people are going to love it.
Cool. Actually, I between YouTube and Google, I have learned so much. Matter of fact, I have someone in my vicinity who's teaching classes and charging quite a bit of money, and I'm like, I learned how to do that for free on YouTube years ago. So I would say don't disregard YouTube. It's a valuable source because there's people out there who just really want the information out there and want to show you how to do it. And they're not looking for anything in return other than just the satisfaction of knowing that the information is out there. And I kind of fall in that category.
There's one thing I will say, that's always nice about going to a hands-on workshop and having like an instructor there is that, you do have the ability to ask questions if things aren't quite working right, or some people are just some people, watching a video just doesn't always work as easy. So it's nice to have those options, but
Yeah,
for sure. One question I want to ask you is, do you have any tips for vetting information on YouTube to know, like, have you learned any secrets for how to make sure this is something that's gonna work? Or, you don't, a lot of people talk about there's a lot of stuff out there that you have to be careful about and doesn't always prove to be true. Have you developed any techniques for vetting?
Well, the thing is you have the luxury of having other people that you can ask. When I wasn't feeling well, health-wise, I mean, let's just lifting a glass of water was like very difficult for me to do. And so for me to go out and meet people and ask questions was extremely difficult. It wasn't even on the table for me. It was a total impossibility as far as my mind was. I just had to figure out whatever it is that I could do because that's literally all that I could do. And so I did. It goes back to the principle of just try it. Like I saw one thing on the internet on YouTube. It talks about a potato barrel and how you can grow potatoes in this a barrel of some sort. I had like a chick wire, so I thought, okay, let me just go ahead and try this. And I grew the tiniest, smallest potatoes. And I thought, okay, well, that was that year. Let me try it again this year. And again, a small, tiny potatoes. It wasn't worth it. Then I saw someone else had posted something about the potato barrel idea. And they said that there were determinate and indeterminate types of potatoes. And you had to get the right variety of potatoes to make that work.
Oh,
So,
wow.
yeah. And I'm still not currently exactly clear on which one is a determinant and which one's an indeterminate. But, I just try it, and if it works, it's great. And if it's not, I maybe try it one more time. And if not, then just move on to the next.
Okay. That's a great example. Okay, how about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine that you really like?
Sorry, it's all the internet. I'm still looking for things that are like super cheap and super available and super easy. And yeah, that's what I had.
Okay. How about do you have any kind of like business advice for listeners on how to sell produce or get started like in the industry if they want to start a CSA or anything like that? I know you haven't started your CSA yet, but you started your internet business. Anything on that?
Really, no. I don't have up to this point, it's really been I mean, it really started with me wanting to learn how to urban homestead. And then it was like, well, let me share what I've been able to amass with others. And that's what I did. I'm not very good with the earning the money part. I just do what I love and just hope it all works out.
Do you ever listen to Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income?
No, I
That
haven't.
might be a good resource for you to help you learn how to, because it seems a shame to me. You have done so much work and you have such great information out there. I'll bet there's ways you could bring in a little, at least to supplement, some things and, get your garden growing. Or I know for us, chicken food just every month can be expensive. And to me, it's like we, our theory is we have the chickens for the manure and the eggs are just the bonus on top. And my eggs have been overflowing lately. I don't even know what to do with them all. So
Awesome.
it's more about, but sometimes feeding those chickens can get spendy. So
Very spent,
you might just check out his podcast or website, because that's how he started. Was he was an architect, and he was studying for this thing called the LEED certification, which is like an environmental certification for architects. And while he was studying for this exam, he just kind of blogged about his notes. And the next thing, and it took a really long time for him to do it. Like people think, oh, he was an instant overnight success, but it really took him like 2 or 4 years or something to put the whole thing together. But that was kind of just how he started, was just sharing his knowledge from when he studied it. And people were so impressed with the knowledge that they got and the way that they were able to study for the exam and pass the exam from his knowledge. When he did come out with a certification book, he said that people were, and he charged like, $35 or $40 for the book, that people were buying the book even though they'd already passed the exam, just to say thank you for all the work that they'd gotten from his thing. And that just kind of reminds me of your story. So
That's great.
please.
Are you going to be providing links to that or
Sure,
how
I
it
can put a
that?
link to the Smart Passive Income in the show notes. You got it. He's yeah, and he's just a really sweet guy.
Smart.
So, just how about an inspirational tip or a quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Just start.
Okay. That's a great one. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. I know you were a little hesitant about it, and I just think you were so eloquent and full of knowledge. Our listeners are going to get some great benefits from this, and I will put all the links to your website on there on the show notes page. And then, do you want to tell them how to reach out to you at Twitter? Because that's how I found you, right? And you're always on Twitter sharing incredible bits of knowledge. I just think it amazes me how technologically savvy gardeners are. Like, I kind of wondered when I first thought, oh, a gardening podcast, who's going to listen to that? And I couldn't picture gardeners sitting in their gardens listening to podcasts. But I did talk to one girl who's like, oh yeah, it makes mowing go by fast. She either listens to audiobooks or podcasts while she's sitting on the lawnmower. They have a big chunk to mow. But I am surprised at how many people tell me they listen to it on their commute or when they're doing boring, it must be paperwork that doesn't require a lot of attention. Somehow they're doing it while they're doing paperwork, and just different places that gardeners are sharing, to hear different people's stories. So, but anyway, oh, my point was that gardeners are so much more into technology. Like, I didn't get Pinterest for the longest time because I'm the artist in the family. And so I've started Pinterest looking for artists and children's book illustrators, and I just couldn't find much on there, and I couldn't really get Pinterest. But when I finally logged in as a gardener and started looking, boy, they're all over the, they've got just great stuff on there, and they're always on Twitter. I mean, they're just really technological people and love to share. Like you said, on YouTube, there's tons of information.
Well, I have to make sure that I think I mean that the technology is not my strong suit whatsoever, and that only the website and all that only happened because I had friends that took the time to help me, either that or took the time to actually just do it themselves and make it possible so that I could run with it. But I mean, if it wasn't for my techie friends, No one would know me. And if it wasn't for their gracious gifts, they totally changed my life. So I have to thank them for that.
Well, I think we all have to thank you too for sharing everything that you've shared and just putting that great resource together and, coming out and talking with us today, stepping a little outside your comfort zone. And
May I mention my Twitter account?
I was just gonna
Okay.
make sure you tell us your Twitter.
All right, thank you. It's at Homestead, the number four, honey, Honey. So that's at Homestead for honey. Come check me out.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks so much, honey. You have a great day.
It's been such an opportunity. Thank you so very much for allowing me to do this.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com, like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden in the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. Thanks again for listening, and grow local.